This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, One Life Matters. This is the third message in the series, One Matters. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Welcome to 12 Stone across all the campuses. It is so good to have you with us for Easter 2016. Now, let's begin with the way our culture tends to talk about Easter. And sometimes the way we tend to connect Easter even with Christmas. And to help us out, we're going to tap into about 100 seconds of Family Feud, where the top 100 answers are on the board. So check this out.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
This is for the win, darling. If Santa Claus was sick on Christmas Eve, who might he ask to deliver the presents for the win?
Okay, I'm thinking outside the box. He already knows the route. Easter Bunny.
Yeah, that's right. He's going there anyway.
He knows the route. He knows all where all the kids are.
Hey, good answer.
That is good a answer. Good answer.
Yeah, great answer.
That is a very good answer.
He's not convinced. Keep going.
Hey,
yeah, keep going.
The Easter Bunny already knows where all these kids live.
She teaches Zumba.
Hello, I got 6 kids. I got
Zumba, Easter Bunny.
I'm like this with Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. It's up there.
Good answer.
I think it's a good
answer. Yeah, I think it's a good answer.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to feel that way about it. But it's hard for me to see the tie-in between the bunny and Christmas.
They're friends. They're magical friends.
Oh, wait. Who's friends?
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, they're friends. They're magical friends.
Just like that.
Like this, like this. Like...
Here we go. Get ready, David. The Easter Bunny.
Isn't that spectacular? She got the answer right. They won. They all celebrated. And so now let's see if we can get the answer right. The real answer to Easter, the real answer to Christmas. Because when you get Easter right, well, then all of heaven celebrates with you. So Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ, God in human flesh coming to earth. And why? Why did Jesus come? Well, the answer is Easter. In fact, look on the screen and he gives us the answer. Luke chapter 19. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to find and restore the lost. In fact, we're going to leave it up there for a second. I want everyone across all the campuses, even if you're online, you're watching, you're listening loud and proud. I want everybody to read that with me together. You ready? All of us are going to read it loud and proud. It's on the screen. Here we go. Together, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to find and restore the lost. Well done. Let's talk it through. I'm going to go to the whiteboard. You go to your teaching notes. You can draw this anywhere along your teaching notes. There's space there for you to do this. Easter is about the lost being found. That's what that verse tells us, that there is this divide, if you will, and Jesus made it possible for us to move from lost to found. Now, having made it possible for us to go from lost to found, that is to say, Jesus restores us. So let's talk about lost. Because you can't understand Easter unless you understand Jesus' use of the word lost. Grab your Bibles. You received a Bible, Worship Center Bible, coming into the one of the campuses, or right here among us, it's underneath your chair. And we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 15. It's on page 1048 in your Worship Center Bibles. If you're on a mobile device, it's Luke chapter 15. We'll start with verse 8. And by the way, if you're hanging out with us over Easter, so glad that you're here. If you don't have a Bible of your own, truly, like, I don't even have a Bible. If that's your case, on the way out, stop by guest services. We have a new Bible for you, our gift to you. We'll just give it to you. We want to be of encouragement to you. Now, the setup on page 1048, Luke chapter 15, verse 8, is Jesus talking to a group of spiritual leaders who are a little upset at Jesus because Jesus is hanging out with all the wrong people. He's not only hanging out with religious people, but he's hanging out with unreligious people, people who they would call sinners. In other words, they held this philosophy that the only people that really matter to God are the people who'd already cleaned up their life. Kind of like you got to clean up your life to get to God. And Jesus is hanging out with sinners, and that can't be right. And then Jesus tells three stories. He gives them pictures, and he says the kingdom of God is like this. He gives a story of a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. Well, we're going to start reading the story of the lost coin, verse 8. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Verse 9, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." Then in verse 10, he closes, kind of gives the purpose. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, Jesus is painting a picture of the kingdom of God. He's telling the story of 10 coins, one of which got lost, because one matters. Now, this 10 coins could have been a headband that she had. It was most likely her wedding dowry. So these coins were of great treasure to her. And when she discovered she lost one, she only had 9, that one mattered. And so obviously she went looking, and so would you. Now, in her dark little hovel of a home, she would have had no outdoor lighting, so she'd light the candle, she'd light the oil lamp, and she would look, and her floor would be made of rocks and dirt, and so she'd sweep it, and she'd put her hands in between the rocks. She's trying to desperately find this. In other words, she would go to all lengths. She'd make change of her calendar, everything, set aside all priorities. I've got to find what's been lost. And when she finds it, well, she'd bring her friends together, and she'd tell everybody, she says, "Oh, what's been lost, been found." There's a great celebration and a party. Now, the reason this is significant is Jesus is telling us that we are the lost. We're the coin. We are the thing that once belonged to God, treasured by God. We matter to God. And even one matters to God. Even one being lost mattered to God. And that's where we are. We're spiritually lost. The one searching for what's lost is Jesus, God's Son. And begging the question, how far would you go to get back what's been lost? And that is the story of Easter. Now, honestly, most of us in modern America, we're not wrapped up in wedding dowries and 10 little coins and one being lost. That's not how we get into this story. So if Jesus walked in modern day 2016 and he were on the scene today, maybe what Jesus would do is he'd make a little short film. He'd tell his story, maybe 8 minutes or so. He'd put it on his little iPhone. He'd say, "Here's what I'm talking about." And he would use an item more familiar to our culture. So, in conjunction with our Whitestone Motion Pictures, we said, let's put a film together that makes sense of this story. So this film begins with the son walking through an attic with a Christmas box, and he makes a discovery.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas,
Daddy.
Hey, little Cameron, Merry Christmas.
Open this one. It's for Mommy and me.
All right, I will.
Hey.
I'm sure this is going to be a good one. It just might be my favorite.
That's me and my dad.
Oh, my goodness. This is great.
Who's that?
That is your mother and me right after we got married.
Is that your guitar?
Well, little Cameron, there was a man named Mr. Shakespeare, and he said, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. You ever hear the expression, the one that got away? That guitar in this picture, well, that's the one that got away. It was a thing of beauty. A 1934 Gibson L1. Stenciled script logo, sunburst finish. They don't make them like that anymore. You see, this guitar was first my daddy's guitar. He would carry it with him everywhere he went, even when he was called off to fight in the war. I was just a baby, and he walked out the door, guitar case in hand. 1 year later, the guitar came back. My daddy didn't. You're probably too young to understand this, but there are some things that come along in your life just at the right time. That thing for me was this guitar. I practiced that guitar every day until my little fingers bled. Only thing I could get out of it was the blues. Maybe it was because of my daddy, but you gotta live the blues before you can play them. I played it for a lot of girls, but it wasn't until I saw your mama that the guitar taught me the right song just for her. I chased after her day after day. That guitar, my only instrument to woo her on bended knee. Eventually, she finally heard the music. Music is something that doesn't need words. It's pure emotion. It's what comes out of you when words just won't do it. After your mom and I were married, you came along. I'd sit by your crib at night, sing you to sleep. That guitar lulling you into sweet dreams every time. I still remember your little hand reaching up and grabbing at the tuning pegs. Then the guitar taught me a different song, the kind that made me want to be a better father, a better man. It taught me how precious a lullaby could be. I dreamt of someday handing that guitar over to you, teaching you how to play it, how to let it play you. But then things got tough. Real tough. I hope you don't remember those times, but there were nights when I cried myself to sleep. Money doesn't mean anything until you don't have any. And then somehow or other, it becomes everything. I had to sell that guitar, pawned it off for 1 more month's rent. It broke my heart to lose something that precious to me. But that was the last lesson that guitar taught me before I lost it. That even though I loved that instrument, I loved you and your mother so much more. When I finally had the money to get it back, it was long gone from the shop. A thing of beauty like that doesn't sit still for long. I'm sure it went to someone else's life to teach them a whole new set of songs. Honestly, I never bought another guitar again. I just didn't have the heart for it. You know something I just remembered about that guitar? like all great treasures. It had a secret. Up on the headstock, there was a little piece of plastic covering the truss rod. You could unscrew it. And underneath it was this tiny little space. My father carved his initials in it. Underneath it, he carved mine. And when I had you, I put your initials in there too. No one would ever notice it. But sometimes in life, you need little secrets that are hidden away just for you.
Anyway, that's enough of this sad little story. Let's open some more presents.
And so the story of Easter, something treasured by the Father, us, not a guitar, but a guitar, tells the story, much like Jesus did with the lost coin, and how the Son sought to find what was lost and bring it back to the Father. It's as intimate as God's initials, if you will, intimately carved in our hearts in that He is our Creator, and we matter to God and He treasures us. And as distinct as our initials on God's heart. And it begins by understanding lost. So let me go back to the whiteboard and let me fill in the blanks. We have been lost in confusion. If you want to understand this idea of being lost that Jesus is talking about, we've been lost in what, everybody? Confusion. Say it with me again. Lost in what? Confusion. Now, really confused because of the impact of sin on our lives. And confused because now we really don't know whose we are. We don't know who we are. The impact of sin is such that we're lost in the confusion, the deception of it. So we're not sure anymore. I mean, we say, I don't know. Am I really created in the image of God? We're confused about that. Do I really have a soul? Was I designed for eternity? Or am I just kind of an evolutionary cosmic accident? See, we're quite confused about who we are and who loves us. I've been married for 33 years to my wife, Marcia. We have four kids, great kids. She's my best friend, soulmate, the quiet strength behind our family, the quiet strength behind this church family. And about 5 years ago, we were up at Cleveland, Georgia, renting a cabin. We love to do that as a family. And on one particular morning, I was out on a run with my daughter, Julissa. She was out on my bicycle, Marcia was, just getting some miles in for a workout. And when Julissa and I came running back to the cabin, just prior to getting to the cabin, a couple of ladies interrupted us, and they were in a panic. I mean, they were distraught. So that arrested my attention. And they said, are you by chance the husband of a woman who's out riding a bicycle? And so you know how your heart skips a beat. Yes, yeah, my wife's out on my bike. They said, there's been an accident. Please come. And so I ran down the street. There was my bicycle. There was blood on the roadway. And she was already in the ambulance. Apparently, she was coming down the hill at high speed. And best we can guess, hit a pothole and went over the bike, had no helmet, and hit head first and then rolled. And the EMT didn't want me to step into the ambulance. He said, I don't think you want to go in there right now. She's in bad shape. And I said, I'm a pastor. I've seen some pretty rough things. I'm going to go in. He said, yeah, but it's never been your wife. I said, just open the door. And I stepped in, and, you know, he wasn't wrong. She had a massive head wound, and she was blood from head to toe, and she was in really rough shape and a broken collar. And I took her hand gently, and I said, honey, I'm here. Sorry. She said, who are you? And that just arrested me. I said, I'm your husband. I'm Kevin. She said, well, if you're my husband, won't you help me? I said, yeah, I'm here to help you. Made the long trip to the hospital in a few hours with the doctor. And he sat down with me and he said, your wife has a brain injury. And next 24 hours are going to be really important for your wife and you. If the brain doesn't quit swelling, we'll do brain surgery tomorrow. And I don't know where this is going to go. So now would be a really good time for you to pray. And we did. And by God's kindness, many of you know the end of that story is that the brain swelling went down and she was restored. And God was gracious. And I want to make a point. That fall that she took left her in great confusion over who she is and who loves her. And I want you to know that that's what Jesus is trying to say to us. That this fall in sin that we have taken, that we take rather lightly, that we don't take as seriously as it sits before God in eternity, this fall to sin, this rebellion toward God, this going our own way, has left us in confusion over who we are and who loves us. And so Jesus came to set right. As we ask questions like, now who are you, God? And who are you, Jesus? And that deception that sin leaves us in makes us think, well, I could just go make a better life without God. I don't really have need of him. So the story of Easter begins with we're lost. And we're lost in confusion. Now let's go right back to Luke chapter 19 where we left off. Why Easter? For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to find and restore, the lost. Let's talk for a minute about restore. In fact, I'll go right back to the whiteboard. If you're a note taker, you can jot this down. Jesus came to restore. We've already jotted that down. And that literally means he has become our atoning sacrifice. Our atoning what? Sacrifice. You can jot that in your notes. Literally to say that Jesus made it possible for us to be forgiven. And why is this so serious? What do we mean by atoning sacrifice? What do we mean that Jesus voluntarily went to the cross and gave his life to be our atoning sacrifice, to make forgiveness possible? Well, it begins back here with this sin thing. Because God told us in Genesis, the consequences of sin is that we would die. And that literally means we would die physically. We all know that. We all die. We die relationally, separated from God due to our sin. And that's why we're greatly confused. And die eternally, eternally separated from God. So that makes this a terrifying and serious conversation. One that we rarely have together. But one that needs to be had because this is what's on the line. So Jesus voluntarily gave his life on the cross to be our atoning sacrifice, literally to pay our sin debt, to buy us back. Now I know in the movie it's a simple story, profoundly true that a son would go and would buy back the guitar, and we're more than a guitar. We're not a thing, we're not a coin, we're not a guitar. We're just lost sons and daughters that matter so greatly to God that his son would buy us back. It would require a sacrifice to atone, to cover our sin debt. That's what Jesus did on the cross, involuntarily dying to cover our sin debt. Look on the screen as it tells us what 1 John 2:2 summarizes as being true about the kindness of God to us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it's going to give a little picture of Jesus on the cross, and then it's going to tell us that he is our atoning sacrifice. So let's go to that video. Sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. So this is who Jesus is to us. And this is what he's done, atoning sacrifice. Let me give you a little picture. In the Old Testament, there would be a brazen altar that sat in front of the temple, and nobody could get access to the presence of God without going through, if you will, this brazen altar, this place of sacrifice. Lambs would be offered offered in sacrifice before God to cover the sin of the nation. So they would have access to the presence of the living God. Jesus, in essence, the cross, served as our altar where he sacrificed himself for our sake and bought us back to the Father, making forgiveness possible. So now let's go to the scripture we saw previously, because we want to read that scripture that was on the screen. It's from Romans chapter 5. Look at this with me. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and what? Died for us sinners. By the way, I put it there so you know, that's how far he would go to buy us back. Who had no use for him. In other words, we were lost. And that scripture goes on. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now we rejoice. Look at, here's the celebration. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends with God. There's the restored relationship. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only bridged the gap to restore, but he rose from the dead. So that's why when you come to church, if you're not spiritually resolved, you're not sure what's going on, but you're like, man, these people are weird. They're kind of happy and excited and celebrating this thing about Jesus. Yeah, because he rose from the dead. He left an empty tomb. He conquered sin and death for our sake. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, making forgiveness possible. So the scripture we've already read tells us that in Luke 19, Jesus did what? The Son of God came to find and restore what was lost. What was lost needed to be restored so that it could be found. So it could be what, everybody? Found. Literally, found in repentance. If you wonder what we know, what we mean when we say, what do you mean by found? I mean being found in repentance. How are you found? How does this forgiveness come your way? It's in repentance. For in that you make a turn to obey God. A turn to obey God. We can go back to the story that Jesus was telling in Luke chapter 15. You don't have to turn there, but let me read, because we've already read it together, but I want you to hear it afresh. Chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus says, in the same way, after this coin has been found, he says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner who, what, everybody? Repents. Now, repent, they understood in that day, was a military term. It meant that if God's this direction and you were walking toward God, when you sin, it means you turn away from God. That's the rebellion. It means you go your own way. You live your own life by your own morals, by your own standards, by your own pattern. And when you repent, it means you turn back to God. It's a 180-degree turn. It means sorry and sorry enough to quit. It means I realize I can't get the better life without God. And I can't be found restored to him without the work of Jesus. So I repent, I make the turn, and I go to God. Repent and be restored to God. Now, this is so significant that Jesus not only told the story in Luke 15 of the sheep, which we didn't read yet, the lost sheep, but then we read the lost coin, and then he tells the story of the lost son. Again, we're not a coin, we're not a sheep. We're a lost son and daughter. We're not a guitar, but it helps paint a picture so you don't understand the significance of buying back. But then he tells the story of the son, that one matters. And there was this son who was walking with his father in good relationship with his dad and decided, you know what? I think I could get a better life if I just turn and walk away from my dad and go my own direction. So it says he left his father and he went to a distant country. He thought he could get a better life if he would just, you know, go after the prosperity of life and that would fulfill him and give him a better life. He just chased pleasure and that would give him a better life and more fulfilling life. He could chase popularity and that would give him a better life and more fulfilling life. And by the end, if you read that story, you discover that he ended up with a lesser life. He ended up empty. And a moment of turn in the story, when it says, and he came to his senses, literally repented. He said, I'm going to go return to my father. So he turns back and goes to his father, drops on his knee before his father, and he says, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Now, everybody listening to this story is expecting that the father would withhold forgiveness. But Jesus finishes the story. I'll read it for you. It's in Luke chapter 15. It's a beautiful close. He says, not only do I forgive, but I restore you as a son. And then he says to all his servants and to everyone listening in the household, including the older brother, he says, let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. I mean, that's Easter. He was dead in sin, and now he's made alive. He was lost, and now he's been found. And God our Father is still making that offer today. In fact, he's making the offer to you for Easter 2016. It's probably the reason God has you here right now, for you to decide what are you going to do with the offer of God. Just like Tim Hampton. Tim Hampton came to 12 Stone, some 11 years ago. Tim came with his family, his wife Sherry, his three kids. He didn't come for himself because he knew he didn't need God and he doesn't need faith and he doesn't need the church. But he thought it'd be a good moral kind of idea for his kids to get a little bit of religion. It helped them. Wife was in on the idea, really thought that would be helpful. So maybe a little bit to appease his wife. So they show up at 12 Stone and they start attending for a while. And eventually, Sherry comes to faith in Christ. She repents and turns, and the kids do, but not Tim. Tim's going to keep walking his own direction away from God because Tim's going to get a better life his own way. Tim's going to get it out of chasing prosperity. He's going to do well in business. He's going to build his company and his business. He's eventually going to get the Rolex watch. He's going to get the symbols of success. We all have our sense of what the symbol of success would be. He's going to get a better life on his own. Doesn't need God. But meanwhile, he kept attending with his family. In fact, he was serving. He was very religious. He just never surrendered. Maybe that's where you are. The reason I'm telling this story is with Tim's permission. A few weeks ago was finally his moment when he quit resisting God. On Super Bowl Sunday, the Spirit of God arrested Tim's attention. And on that day, he repented, confessed his sin, was restored to God. A couple weeks later, he was baptized. It's really the moment when all of heaven celebrates, when just one comes in the kingdom. I want you to see for just a minute his baptism and celebrate it with him. Listen in.
When we talked, we had some coffee and talked and sat down. He talked about how he was just here and he had felt God's presence but never made that decision. And the fun thing is, two weeks ago, it was a Super Bowl Sunday, Double Dog Dare series. I called out something at the beginning of the service. So what I said at the beginning of the service is I said this. I said, Listen, there's some of you who walked in with Carolina Panthers jerseys on, fans, that kind of stuff. The good news is we have a salvation response for you at the end of the service. He was in Carolina Panthers gear, and he just, that's God calling. God just calling him out in the process. And you know what? At the end of that service, he raised his hand front row, looked right at me, and he knew that was his moment. He needed to give his life to Jesus Christ. So this morning, he is here 11 years later. Me and Tim's going to say he has given his life to Jesus Christ and loves him. So Tim, in front of your family, your friends, and your church, I have two questions for you. Do you trust Jesus for forgiveness of your sins?
Absolutely.
Will you choose to follow him all the days of your life?
Absolutely.
Then it is my honor and privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Across all the campuses, let's celebrate for a moment. That's the amazing thing that God can do. You go from lost to found, from death to life, all by the work of Jesus. In other words, Tim Hampton got the Easter answer right. Turned his life around. In fact, a couple weeks later, he was texting his campus pastor. And with his permission, I want to read his text. God is working in me every day. I got a quick reminder of just how much this past Sunday when a lady came up to me and said she was so moved by my baptism and how my family was there to witness. And as she walked away, I just broke down in tears, thanking God for showing me mercy and grace and unbelievable feeling of his love. I'm staying in the Bible and I'm finding it easy to understand for the first time in my life. Isn't that a great story? This is a beautiful thing. That's what God does. You see, that guitar being lost and restored is us. And it's as intimate as God's imprint, if you will. God's initials, the Father's initials etched in us. We're made in his image. Our initials are on his heart. It's that intimate to God. I mean, literally, I could take it back to the whiteboard and I could say it's like coming to the cross as an altar. And finally figuring out that Easter is all about the lost being found, made possible by Jesus, by his restoration on the cross. And so I come to the cross, and it would be like Tim putting TH right there, Tim Hampton, putting his initials on the cross and saying, that's how personal it is. And that's who I trust. It, for me, Kevin Allen Myers, I put K-A-M. I like putting my initials on the cross and saying, God, by your grace through Jesus, you've atoned for my sacrifice. I trust you for the forgiveness of sin. That's how your name gets put in the Lamb's Book of Life that Revelation 20, 21, and 22 it talks about. That's how you get entrance into heaven. That's how you get the gift of eternal life. And that day, Tim offered a prayer. I want to give you an example of the very prayer he offered. We'll put it on the screen. Let's look at it together. Everyone across the campuses, here's the prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins by the grace of Jesus and restore me to you. Jesus, be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know you, serve you, and follow you. Thank you for your new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And with that prayer, if in all sincerity of heart, you offer it to God, he does that very thing for you. You go from lost to found. Well, Tim resisted the offer of God for 11 years. Oh, he was quite religious, but he never had a relationship. What about you? How long have you been resisting God? How long has he made himself known to you? Well, I know this. He's given you one more moment because you're here. And you can be forgiven and restored to God because of the work of Jesus. Go from lost to found and celebrate your spiritual birthday on Easter 2016. And so the campus pastors are going to step up on the stage. We're going to put the prayer back up on the screen. We're going to bring a really cool cross out and let it serve as an altar and give you an opportunity to put your very initials there. We're going to celebrate anyone, and one would be enough because all of heaven would celebrate just that one, and you can have eternal life. And so with that, we'll take that moment right here. Just as they will at all the campuses, we're going to take that moment before the Lord. I know it's Friday night. It's coming to Easter weekend. But I'm telling you, more than we know sitting here among us have never said yes to God In fact, some of us are kind of like Tim. We've been resisting God for a while. And so right now they're going to bring the band back out. And we're going to have a moment, a sacred moment. They're going to bring a cross out and they're going to place it in the center of the stage. They're going to put the prayer back on the screen. And we're going to have one of those rare times in our lives where we're going to just have an honest to God sacred moment. What are you going to do with the offer of God? Now, I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know how long you've resisted him. I don't know that you'll say yes to God. But I know that he's given you the moment and you're here. So whether you're in this room or the cafe theater, this is your opportunity. And literally, I'm going to invite you to say the prayer with me. We'll all say it in the room. And then I'm going to give you a chance after you say the prayer and settle with the Lord to walk right up here. And I'm going to be standing here, so you're not going to be alone. I'm going to encourage you to come right up here to the cross and take the pen and find a spot and just put your initials. K-A-M, the cross is the altar where I was restored to him by the work of Jesus. And then you'll walk from there to the right or the left. We'll hand you a Bible. We'll ask you to fill out a card. You're like, oh, I'm not here to fill out a card. Let me just help you for a moment. Because you're thinking, man, I'll just do this privately. This is very personal, but it's not private. You step up to follow Jesus, it becomes a public thing. And so what you're not saying is, I'm walking away from God and I'm going to repent and turn and walk toward God. And I'm going to do it just for a second so that I get my name in the book of life and then turn around and go live the same way I used to. No, no, no. This turn is repent. And you begin to walk toward God. You can't do that on your own. That's why you need a church family. That's why we're going to encourage you, help you walk in your faith. We won't leave you on your own. God built the church to encourage one another and help us walk with God. And while we all struggle along that journey, we grow up in faith in him. So this is a really cool moment. So we'll put the prayer back up. I'm going to read the prayer. But if this is your moment and this is your time to say yes to God, then you make it your prayer. And I'm going to ask all of us to read the prayer together aloud. Just as a family, we do everything together. So we'll read it together knowing that for some of you, this is your moment like Tim Hampton to say yes to God. So everybody read the prayer with me aloud. Here we go. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins by the grace of Jesus and restore me to you. Jesus, be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know you, serve you, and follow you. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.